are going to start today's sermon off with a video clip.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Don't sit down there.
That's too bad.
It's broken.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. In a rich man's world, money, 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 always sunny. In a rich man's world, oh, oh, all the things I could do.
If you're a fan of ABBA or enjoy the musical Mamma Mia, then the song that we all just heard, Money, 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 is probably just a fun bop to dance around to in the kitchen or with friends. But if we actually read the lyrics, instead of just belting them out during like the next karaoke night, they offer a pretty good description of how we tend to view wealth, poverty, and the economic divide. I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay, ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me, that's too bad. In the musical, the main character, Donna, is struggling to keep her business afloat. Things are always breaking or breaking down. Payment for bills is scrimped together. And each day, she starts to wonder when she might have to close. Donna falls on the broke side of the economic spectrum, and I wouldn't say she's living in poverty, but she's had better days. But she has a dream. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Donna imagines the world of the rich and famous where money abounds and life is all play and no work. Anything she could want, she could have. But reality strikes. Donna is somewhere in the middle. Not wealthy or even really well off, but not poor. In truth, I would bet that Donna's economic standing isn't that far off from yours or mine, and I suspect that we can all connect to that phrase, all the things I could do if I had a little money. It's a rich man's world. We live in the midst of a chasm. We live in a divide. There's a great gulf between the haves and the have-nots, the rich and the poor, those with opportunities and those without. There is a great space between. And most of us, we're in the middle. We don't really relate to either side. You and I are not the Jeff Bezos of the world, but neither are we so poor as to go without basic necessities like food or water or shelter. Because of our middle ground, it can be hard to relate to Jesus' parable today. We are neither Lazarus nor the rich man. The rich man is living in excess. He feasts sumptuously every day. He is the definition of elite. Meanwhile, Lazarus, covered in sores and hoping for food, has less than the bare minimum needed to survive. He doesn't even have skin to fully cover and protect his body. We can't relate to either of these men, and when we can't relate, sometimes it's just easier to ignore. One writer shares this recollection. After the gathering of a faith community, a friend walked outside to find a man begging for spare change. "What do you need the money for?" he asked. The man replied, "I'd like to buy a beer." Sorry, my friend said, I can't give you money for that. And then my friend went on to a pub down the street with his church friends and bought everyone a round of beers for all. Living in the middle, there are rare occasions when you and I make a concerted effort to look the begging person in the eye, recognize them as the child of God that they are, and offer some help. But more often than not, we avert our eyes and walk on. Or we avert our eyes and ignore. We don't really relate to the person in grave need, and neither do we have all the money in the world to just give it out like candy and solve every problem. So it feels easier to simply ignore. We don't fully identify with either side of the divide, and so we look down, focusing instead on our small, contained middle. We live in the middle. Beloved, God offers mercy. God cares for and looks out for us. God provides. For Lazarus, who has suffered in his earthly life, God offers comfort. Lazarus is carried by angels and sits with Abraham, finally has all that he needs. Now he is comforted here, says Abraham. Now he sits in ease and security. For those of us here in this middle ground, God has provided for our needs too, provided and then some. After all, we continue to find ways to make it through this pandemic, find ways to get through each day. With our resources, many of us have even had enough so as to be able to give to others through the church or nonprofits, sharing a bit of God's provision with the rest of our community. We have seen and experienced God's provision. We've talked about it and shared it with our friends. In fact, it seems that for the last 3 or so sermons that I've preached, the message of hope has been all about God providing and how that provision is experienced in care and love and mercy. And so honestly, at this point, I'm a little inclined to say, we know, we get it right, God provides. We know this to be true. We're in this season of Lent, a season that is all about how much God cares. So much so that God would give God's only son, Jesus, to suffer and die a terrible death for us, for our sake. We know this good news of God's great love for us. We have seen it lived through the flesh of Jesus. We have seen it lived here and now through our missions of the month, our financial surplus at the end of a pandemic year, through a willingness to help others in the congregation get groceries when they've been isolated, checking in on the most vulnerable to ensure that they have access to all that they need. We have witnessed provision through the medical community and through researchers and essential workers. As Abraham says to the rich man today, your brothers have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. They have already had witnesses to tell them all about God's grace and call. They already have examples of mercy and provision. They have heard and seen all that God is capable of. What else could they need to give them hope and belief? Beloved, God offers mercy and God provides, and together we have borne witness to that provision over the last year, even in the midst of great struggle and tragedy. Today we are invited to act. We are invited to do. We are invited and called by God to be at work in the world, for we already know the kind of life that God asks us to lead. One that seeks justice, lives in love, works to bridge the divide in this great space between us. Here in the middle, we are like the rich man's brothers. Through the prophets, through our scriptures, we know God's grace and call. We know God cares and offers mercy and love all the time, forever. And so the question becomes, what do we do with that knowledge? What can we imagine doing? This past Thursday was the last session in the study that I've been leading on Anna Madsen's book, I Can Do No Other, a book that seeks to show how Jesus' death and resurrection and our Lutheran theology call us to embrace a radical commitment to justice. The final chapter of the book is called Here We Imagine, offering the idea that if we have been created in God's image, then we share in God's imaginative and creative activity. When we unite our imagination with God's image, present realities are not just challenged, but upended, even reformed. And so although you and I exist in this middle ground that can sometimes feel limiting, we still have the gift and power of our imagination. We may not have all the money in the world, but it's about what we do, not what we have. So we are called to imagine. Imagine bridging the gap in the racial divide. Imagine bridging the gap in access to education. Imagining changes to food accessibility, to homes and safe living for all, as well as reimagining our financial disparity. And some of that reimagining is already starting to happen here at Faith. Imagining a new kind of welcome and inclusion for our siblings of color. Maybe even imagining how we can go beyond financially supporting the fight against hunger and getting involved at the policy or advocacy levels. Together, our collective imaginations are vast and full of possibility. Now we're invited to act. Life here in the middle might seem like a place where we could just get stuck, never really relating to either side of the divide. But regardless of where along the continuum we fall, each of us has been created in the image of God, and each of us has been given the gift of imagination. Perhaps in many ways we do live in a rich man's world, but every day we have the chance to challenge and change. Imagine something new. Imagine something closer to the kingdom of God on earth. Amen.